with the way the native corporations are set up now, there's always the chance that they can lose their land. Right now, village corporations are subdividing and selling some of their land to make a profit. Every piece of land that is sold is something that our future generations will never have, because once it's sold, it's gone forever.
15 years after ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, people are realizing the lands they had hoped to keep might be lost. In this program, Alaska Natives look at the risks and ways to save their lands. This is Holding Our Ground.
Funding for Holding Our Ground is provided by the Alaska Humanities Forum, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, the North Slope Borough, and Zients Pertl Law Firm.
One thing for sure will happen on December 18, 1991. On that date, the Native corporations organized under ANCSA will cancel all outstanding stock and issue new stock to shareholders. The new stock will be able to sell. If the majority of it sells to non-natives, we will lose control of our corporation and probably our land. And what kind of impact will it have on us natives?
People are very worried they will lose the lands they had hoped to save with ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971. Congress extinguished Aboriginal title to Native lands and created profit-making corporations to hold the lands, about one-tenth of Alaska. The state and federal government own nearly all of the rest. Alaska's Native peoples became shareholders by law rather than by buying stock. Natives born before ANCSA passed were enrolled to a regional and village corporation, receiving 100 shares in each one. In 1991, the restricted stock goes public. Walter Johnson.
The Alaska Native put everything, the land, the money, and according to the ANCSA, they put their birthright and everything else into that corporate structure.
The corporation selected land and were given seed money to go out and find a way to make a profit. They were expected to succeed in 20 years. 15 years have passed, and soon Native corporation shares can be sold to the general public. When most people buy and sell stock, their sole concern is whether there is a profit or a loss in the transaction. But Alaska Natives have also to consider selling their remaining lands, since land is the main corporate asset. There is a lot of confusion and concern. Muffy Aya from Savunga.
If I chose to sell my stock in 1991, I'm not going to sell my stock, but does that mean I will be treated as an outsider, pay an entry fee and or a lease for my house from the corporation when I've been living there for nothing before, pay a land crossing permit for subsistence purposes if I want to go camping, that I cannot dig for old ivory anymore, pay for the land in order for me to be buried? What do, in actuality, I lose if I sell my stock?
In the past, Native peoples did not place cash value on the lands they freely used and occupied. No one could buy or sell the land. With ANCSA, wealth has been artificially created on paper where it did not exist before. If people sell the shares, corporations and their lands could be owned and controlled by outsiders. Outsiders could also control the corporation if it incurs bad debts or it is unable to pay future taxes. Since land is central to the way people live in villages all over Alaska, people worry about the conflict that has been set up with a cash-based economy. Alan Panamanoff.
We're talking about how can we be able to protect our land so that our people can go out and do what they have been doing for as long as I can remember, and as long as my fathers and his fathers, their fathers, and so on have been doing, so that they wouldn't have to worry about stepping on a piece of land that somebody comes around with a shotgun or something saying that, hey, you're on my land, get out of here.
Native peoples are unhappy about the prospect they could become trespassers on their own lands.
There is no guarantee that our subsistence hunting and fishing lifestyle will be protected.
Andy Golia of Dillingham.
Although many of our village corporations have made land selections based on prior subsistence use and have made plans to allow their shareholders the right to hunt and fish on such lands, what will happen after 1991?
Hubert McKim of Sand Point.
As a citizen of the United States, I resent somebody saying, you can do this with your share, you can't do this, it's restricted. We like freedom. I'd like to have my choice as to what I would like to do with my share in 1991. I think we're all able to make up our own minds and even influence our children.
One time I was talking with some young kids my age.
Ellie Stickman from Nolada.
And I asked them, when 1991 comes along and you're able to sell your stock, and if your stock is worth $10,000, would you sell your stock? And they said, yeah, sure, I'll sell my stock right now.
It's the confusion in my mind. How in the world we're going to tell our young people to not to sell their land?
Judith Allen of Fairbanks.
Because I know for a fact at home the young people are kind of crazy for money. They will sell it.
Even if shares are not sold, in time people will hold unequal amounts of shares. Some people never got shares because they were not enrolled. Those born after December 18, 1971, receive no shares except through inheritance. Shares passed on through inheritance will most likely be divided, and since they are treated as property, they can be willed to anyone. Small groups of people could control the corporations. Judge Thomas Berger.
If half the people in this village sell their shares and the other half don't, then the people that still keep their shares will control the corporation, and it's up to them to decide whether they will do anything for the people that sold out.
Experts say a corporation can be controlled using less than 15% of the shares. Corporate decisions and voting procedures have the potential to be contrary to what people want.
Another way that village corporations can lose their land is through making bad business decisions.
Andy Golia.
If they make bad business decisions, they could end up in the brink of bankruptcy and be forced to sell their land to pay off their debts. In the extreme case, village corporations can go bankrupt, disappear, and lose their land forever.
Since land is the main corporate asset, many corporations risk the land in order to raise needed cash for business ventures. Land is frequently pledged as collateral. Creditors are already demanding lands from Heidelberg, Woodrow Morrison, Jr.
The bank required that in exchange for a loan of $3 million that the Heide Corporation put up all of its timber assets as collateral. $34 million worth of assets as collateral for a $3 million loan. The seafoods industry went bad in 1982. The company began losing money.
The seafood plant shut down, and the corporation invested heavily in a timber operation. Almost all of the money gained from that operation will go toward repayment of debts.
Heide Corporation will have stripped its land of 35 million board feet of timber and not one nickel going back to the shareholders. I own 100 shares of stock in Heide Corporation, but that does not mean that I own a bloody thing. All I have is a piece of paper that entitles me to whatever percentage share of the assets of that company if it were to be liquidated. I don't own a chair. I don't own a a pencil. I don't own a teaspoon of dirt. I can't even cut a tree on Haida Corporation land because I don't own it. The company does. You know, we might even go further and say the bank owns it.
Some financial experts say people would be better off to simply let money earn interest in a bank rather than taking the risk necessary for business. Andrew Kelly of
Should the land be taxed 1991, after 1991? That I disagree very much so. Because if we cannot make any profits or make any kind of money out of land, eventually we are going to lose our land. Only those lands that are producing or generating monies should be taxed.
The state does not currently tax undeveloped native lands. Since state oil revenues are declining, taxes could be levied in the future. A tax of $1 an acre could break most corporations. Doyon Regional Corporation is the largest private landowner in the United States, with 8 million acres. Lincoln Tritt of Arctic Village.
In order to pay tax on all that land that the natives got, they have to be pretty rich. And the natives, the system is not set up to make natives rich.
At the end of 1984, Doyon had $16 million less than when it incorporated. However, they made small profits during 8 of 11 years. Based on past performance, Doyon is not likely to be able to pay an annual $8 million tax bill. There are many suggestions for keeping the lands. One is making sure the stock stays in native hands. A provision in the current law would allow the corporation first option to buy shares. Few village corporations can afford to buy out very many of their shareholders. The pressures to sell might be very great if other people or businesses mount serious takeover attempts.
With the way the village corporations are set up now, there's no guarantee that village corporations will be protected from corporate takeovers.
Andy Golia.
I've heard stories that outside investment firms are scheming right now to take over some village corporations so they can sell the land owned by the corporations to make a profit. I don't know if such schemes are true, but I sure think that they're possible.
Frank Jack of Angoon.
Now, if I were to sell my birthright, I wouldn't have any privilege at all, but the person that will buy my share will have more privilege than I have. So therefore, I'm strongly opposed to sell my share.
Regional corporations had adequate seed money, and some have been successful, most have not. Sea Alaska Corporation made the Fortune 500 only a few years ago, but they are still trying to recover from a plunge that sent them to the bottom. The most successful corporations have made money on oil, minerals, fishing, canneries, timber, and construction. They are the ripest for hostile takeover attempts. Village corporations had little money to start with and little potential to make profit in most cases. The vast majority of village corporations are in poor financial shape. It is the land around the villages that is most important to their survival. Paul Unktaguk of Kotzebue says multiple protections must be developed so that attempted takeovers will be unlikely.
What we should be looking towards is a whole series of resolutions that would be like a porcupine. A porcupine has thousands of those little needles, and the idea is that, you know, sure, if you really want to get a porcupine and you're a bear, you can do it. But the idea of a porcupine is that he makes it so painful that the bear doesn't think it's worth it. And that's the type of changes that we need to have built into our corporation structures.
If corporations are able to buy back shares and keep the stock in native hands, there is still no guarantee against bankruptcy or taxation. Many people say the only solution that will work is to separate the lands from the corporation. Milo Adgen of Dillingham.
And I think that land should be transferred to some sort of membership organization where you can't transfer the stock. Those kind of lands should be protected so that everybody has an equal share. You can't get rid of it. The corporations would have the assets, you know, pre-selected lands that they'd need for development, for economic growth.
Professor Dan Fessler from the University of California thinks cooperatives may provide some good benefits.
It preserves a communal attitude toward assets as opposed to an individual attitude. There are individual rights, but they are within the context of this communal umbrella. And that is a very attractive feature and has been for the 300 and some odd years that cooperatives have been used. There's no profit motive within the co-op, but the co-op is organized to benefit its members, it's run by its members, and it tries to draw a wall around the activities of the co-op, and then it can deal as a very tough cookie with outsiders. You can't inherit a membership in a co-op. It dies right along with the member and reverts to the co-op.
But under state law, cooperatives can merge with profit-seeking corporations.
So are they a good candidate to resist a takeover? No, they are not a good candidate to resist a takeover.
Alaska's laws are now being rewritten, and that leaves the door open to make changes. Some say that if the laws are easy to rewrite, they can be rewritten again. The land bank was created by the 1980 Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, known as ANILCA. University of Alaska professor Bart Garber says there are three specific purposes for the land bank.
That is that you are immune from property taxes for the period of time the land is within in the land bank. And while it's in, you cannot develop it. You can go search for minerals and other things, but you can't develop it for other purposes. You are protected against adverse possession. The third thing is that, and I don't know exactly how we manage this, but you are also protected against certain state and federal judgments.
But no land has gone into the land bank due to lack of regulations. Pat Sweetser is land manager for Ghana U Corporation that includes four villages on the Middle Yukon River.
When they talk about saving subsistence and everything else, the only vehicle is the corporation, because they're talking about land management in a huge way. What we're trying to do is to force the Department of Interior to manage the land as the people out here want it managed. They stop negotiating land bank agreements because of Ghana U's land bank agreement. What it was, and I know, is we negotiated the socks off of them. We worked into that agreement a means by which we had a perpetual renewal. And when they stopped it, I knew that's probably one of the reasons it wouldn't fly, and it was. And so they came back and said, hey, listen, we're only talking about 10 years with 1 5-year renewal, you see. So we're not going to make a servitude of our Indian lands for that period of time for nothing.
10 years in a land bank is regarded as an insignificant amount of time for lands that people want to keep for generations. But even if the lands could be held in the bank longer, it still doesn't save them from bankruptcy or corporate takeover. Attorney David Case.
If the corporation owns the land, it's in the land bank, and the corporation is taken over, oh, bingo, the people who've taken over the corporation now take the land out of the bank, presumably, and probably time their takeover so that it doesn't happen too far in advance the time the land becomes available. So the land bank really won't protect you from corporate takeover problems.
While the land bank itself may not provide adequate protection, Elizabeth Johnston, attorney for Bristol Bay Native Corporation, thinks it may be part of a successful combination.
In my view, I would like to see a combination, or at least probably for Bristol Bay, like to see a combination of use of restricted stock together with the strengthening of the land bank. Because if you have the restricted stock, you keep the control with people who are going to be evaluating how they want to use the land. for their own purposes. And if the native community within Bristol Bay changes and they switch it over to some other criteria other than subsistence, then so be it. If they don't, then also so be that.
Mary Jane Fate of Fairbanks.
In regards to corporation land, we could classify our lands as planned by our shareholders and for the need of the village users. In many ways, we could put them in corporate trusts, family trusts, like other private people.
Ralph Bjornstad of Sand Point.
Set up a board of trustees for holding the land and dissolve the corporation since they've been just sitting on their thumbs for 13 years.
There are a variety of trusts, but Native people are looking for one where the undeveloped land can remain tax-free so it can be passed on to new generations. The Interior Department holds Native reservations and trusts for Native peoples, but some Alaska Natives don't want the Secretary of Interior to have that power. Steve Atla of Huslia.
I don't think the land should be held in trust by the Secretary of Interior, and I think it should also be separated from the corporations. I think it should be managed and owned and overseen by Native people, local Native people. I think if it was managed by Native people from the local level, it'd be managed a lot better.
In the most recent Canadian land claim settlement in the Northwest Arctic, the people essentially hold the land in trust for themselves. They also have corporations, but they are based on membership of those natives who are living, not based on shareholders. That is one possibility people are looking at. Alaska's only Indian reservation is Metlakatla, and it is widely regarded as a success. Thomas Berger.
The Blair were pleased that they had stayed out of ANCSA. And one of the reasons they were pleased about it was that it means that their land is not in danger. They own Annette Island, and they will own it forever. And there is no possibility of their losing it through corporate failure, corporate takeover, or taxation.
The congressional policy stated in ANCSA opposes reservations, so they are unlikely to be reestablished. Tribal governments are rising in popularity as one logical choice to hold the land. There are more than 100 traditional governments and over 70 IRA governments in Alaska. IRA governments get their name from the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. Traditional governments are similar to the IRAs, except that they may or may not have written constitutions recognized by the Secretary of Interior.
I believe that the land was...
Margaret Roberts of Kodiak.
Given to the wrong, or was the wrong instrument to give to the corporations. I believe that the land should always be there for our tribes, for our people. That... I just don't see how the people in the villages can remain there if the land is sold.
Tribal governments offer their members broad powers that can protect the land for generations to come. Professor Ralph Johnson.
The IRA government cannot go bankrupt. It'll continue on. It may incur far more debts than it has assets, but it's not subject to going under, so to speak. It may have trouble getting money, but it's not going to go through bankruptcy. Takeovers. There's no way that an IRA government can be taken over. It's chartered under federal law, and there's no way under federal law it can be taken over. It's a sovereign government. It has attributes of sovereignty. The same thing is true of a traditional government, whether recognized or not. There's no takeover possibility for that. At the present time, it seems clear from what's been said that the village or regional corporations could transfer their assets to an IRA. And I suppose in most cases we're talking about a transfer of assets from a village corporation.
There are differing legal opinions on how this can be accomplished, but some villages have already done it. In the Upper Yukon region, shareholders of two village corporations signed their shares over to the tribal government. Klukwan in southeast Alaska transferred some land from the corporation to the IRA government. The village of Akiachuk on the lower Kuskokwim River has dismantled its state-chartered city government and handed everything over to the IRA government. Many are watching to see how these villages succeed. Some corporations are not willing to hand their lands over to the IRA governments. Some believe the corporation can effectively control the lands as long as certain stock restrictions are in place. Whether Alaska's natives choose one of the options referred to in this program or something else, most people agree that different villages have different needs. They want to avoid the type of blanket law, like ANCSA, where everyone was treated the same regardless of their situation. Margaret Oktolik of Kotzebue.
And now our main concern is land. The land is ours, it always was. And it's up to us now to let it always be. Right now, we are stockholders, we own the land, we have rights as U.S. citizens to make our own decisions, to make our own choices with our own property. The Land Claims Act doesn't have to rule us. We are the people, we have rights. We can change that act with amendments.
The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act has already been changed twice, and more changes will be requested soon. Native organizations are working out their strategies and setting their agendas for the 1986 congressional session. In an upcoming program, we look at the specific proposals and how they might work. In our next program, Alaska Natives talk about one of the hottest statewide controversies, subsistence and the law. For Holding Our Ground, this is Adeline Raboff. This program is produced and written by Jim Sykes, edited and researched by Sue Burris. Special thanks to the community of Gamble for dancing, singing, and drumming, and also to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. For more information about this and other programs in this series, write to Western Media Concepts, P.O. Box 215, Anchorage, Alaska, 99510. Holding Our Ground is a production of Western Media Concepts, which is solely responsible for the content.
Funding for Holding Our Ground is provided by the Alaska Humanities Forum, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, the North Slope Borough, and Zients Pertl Law Firm.